All right, it's 5 p.m. This is the last session for the day, so I'm going to start on time and hopefully finish a little bit sooner. At least I'll stick around, so if you have a lot of questions, we can talk, but I want to make sure you feel comfortable. Thank you for joining the session. I know it's a long day. It's a lot of things to learn and to discover. So my name is JC Simutier. I'm in the Windows Phone developer marketing team. And I work primarily with engaging partners who provide tools, components, and whatever can help developers to build better apps. So one thing as well, I have a phone here. I'm going to give it away at the end of the session. It's a Nokia Lumia 920 Developer Edition. It's a very special phone. And I'm going to be asking a question at the end of the session. And the first person who can, actually two questions, who can find the answer can win the phone, and if nobody has the answer, we'll find another way. But so stick till the end so that you can have a chance to win it. So what is this session about? Really simply, it's about building apps better, faster. That's it. And how do we do that? We don't do that alone. So of course, you're probably familiar with the Windows Phone developer tools, Visual Studio, and so on. But the ecosystem of partners providing building blocks, additional components and technologies you can use is pretty broad. So on this slide, it's just a subset of the partners, and this is actually the one that were here with us at last build when we announced Windows Phone 8, and all these partners were the one that were on board with Windows Phone 8 ready to ship or having betas and technology working on Windows Phone. And so since then, our ecosystem has continued to grow, and the momentum we've been seeing, and we have interesting numbers we've communicated today on the Windows Phone developer blog about the growth and the momentum. And those partners are also a good part of how we've been able to address more scenarios, to touch more developers, and basically offer developers more opportunities to build better apps faster. I'll keep repeating that, but this is really the point. So instead of talking about all the partners, because in an hour I couldn't do that, I decided to pick a few scenarios, and for each scenario, I'll give a quick overview, but I'll also pick an app and a particular partner or a few examples to really show why you should care about this scenario and how a partner can solve the scenario or help you solve the scenario. So we have those five scenarios. The first one, which is to attach the power of a backend to your application. The next one is how to enhance the user experience using advanced controls. The third one is how to promote your apps. Fifth one is to understand the user's behavior and get better. And the last one is a little bit different. It's a different angle, but when you want to go cross-platform, what are your options? So, backend as a service, it's really getting horsepower at your service and not worrying about what you see on the picture, which is doing the maintenance, changing the oil, making sure all these things work. This is not your problem. This is definitely the value of backend as a service. So in a sense, backend as a service is just a cloud infrastructure on top of which you have high-level services that are ready to consume within your application. So the typical services you find provided by different companies are structured storage that you can pick and use to store account user information and different things that are already super easy to consume and use. If you want a full user account management, social network integration, managing push notification on the back end, having rules to send your push notification. Some of them provide also hosting your code if you want to do that. And of course, one of the key value proposition associated to those services is scalability, the capability of starting small and then being able to grow with your audience and with the activity. All these technologies offer you an SDK, a local API that you can call. Usually it's using REST services, so even without an SDK, you can consume those services, but the SDK makes it easier, and we'll look at it. For Windows Phone, there are quite a few offerings available, so there's a company called Buddy, and I'll give a little bit more details, another company called Parse, and those have similar offerings. Urban Airship and Push.io are more into dedicated to push notification management. And of course, there is our own Microsoft Azure Mobile Services. I'm not going to talk about Azure Mobile Services. And there is a session actually on 6/28, I think it's Friday, at 9 a.m., which goes deep on Windows Azure Mobile Services. So I would recommend you and encourage you to go check it out if backend as a service is something you think could help you building your apps. So, and of course, keep in mind, all those services are pay-as-you-go offerings. So most of them, if not all of them, have an option to start free with a cap based on a certain amount of transaction. And as you grow, of course, you pay depending on how much you consume. So it's really important to understand the cost simulation and if your monetization options for your application make sense. Because if you grow to millions of users, great, good for you. But maybe you need to have defined before how you're going to monetize your app. Because if you start paying a big bill for your backend, that's not going to work. So Buddy is, I forgot something. Most, actually, all of these partners, including Azure Mobile Services, are not just Windows Phone. That's also one of the interesting aspects for us to work with partners like these companies is to provide developers, for them to provide developer solutions, whether they are using targeting Windows Phone, but Windows as well, iOS, Android, and so that you can have the same backend to provide the services to different clients. So Buddy is in this scenario, and they have a few high-level services that they provide to developers, like managing user accounts. If within your application you want your user to be able to log in, register, it's always the same logic. So you don't necessarily want to code that in the backend and have to manage the backend infrastructure associated. So, and once you have users' account, you want to be able, for example, hey, you let them send messages between each other. You don't have to do all the complex work. Location services are provided also by Buddy. So if you want to do search like friends nearby, or also they have partnership with location database, so you can find restaurants and a lot of different types of places. Services for photo album, they have a leaderboard game type services, and more recently they launched some analytics, which are actually an interesting piece is that the analytics comes part of using the service because they provide the service. Of course, they instrument their own services. And just that gives you a good base to do analytics. And of course, they provide some additional code you can put inside your application to trace a little bit more. I'll talk about analytics a little bit later. So they have an SDK, of course. Instead of talking too much about Buddy and what they do, I encourage you to check out that space. And I wanted to mention an application that is on the Windows Phone Store. It's a pretty simple game. It's called Pencil Blade. It's kind of a Fruit Ninja game revisited. It's done by, actually, it's a student who did this application. And it's a fairly popular game. It has more than 500,000 downloads, really good rating. And he has been using Buddy to simply manage player name, leaderboard, and now using analytics so that he doesn't have to worry about managing a backend and just focuses on creating the client, the code for the Windows Phone application. So he shared with us that today is about 20,000 daily requests within the application, so which is a fairly good amount of traffic, knowing that this is a simple game. And his monetization option is based on advertising. So for him, it fits totally to have that kind of service in the backend, because if traffic on his application grows, of course, the activity on the backend will grow and the bill might be a little higher, but the more he has displays and activity, the more revenue he generates on his side. So for him, that makes total sense. I assume we have a few developers in the room, and even if you're not super technical, I just want to give you a quick idea of how using such services like Buddy are fairly simple. So let's imagine a scenario where I want to basically log in to my user page. So I have, actually it's going in the wrong order, something. So actually, anyway, the first screenshot is about declaring your buddy client, which is actually something you can see. So you have the buddy client, and in the back end, the screen you see is the screen on the phone where the user would log in with the password, and when the user tap the button sign up, it goes directly to that code that is highlighted. And the only thing you have to do as a developer to manage a sign-up process is just to call this function create user async. So that's creating a new user in the backend. You don't have to worry about what the backend does. It's going to be done just for you. So it's really simple. And to be honest, most Buddy has a certain way of doing things, but most backend providers have similar ways of coding. So it's very simple. I encourage you to take a look at that. So I've created a little checklist. We'll go through the checklist every time we're done. So first item on the checklist was to boost the engine, check. You've really put power inside your application, and that was fairly simple to do that. Next, now your app is much better. You have, you know, a strong, solid application that does tons of things, that is powered by the cloud, but you want to make sure developers and users know about your application. And there are solutions to do that, and we'll look at one solution. Before I go drill down into one way of promoting your application, I want to make sure you understand that competition exists, of course, everywhere, even in the Windows Phone Store. Competition might be a little less fierce than on other stores, but still. So you need to promote your application for them to exist and to stand out and become raised to the top. So don't forget the basics. You know, have a YouTube demo of your application, create a Facebook page, make sure you collect user feedback, using things like user voice. Talk to reviewers, find reviewers, push your apps to reviewers. Do in-app auto-promotion. If you have multiple applications, do cross-promotion. I'll actually show an example. There was a really good session this morning, so if you didn't see it, you may catch up on video by my colleague Bernardo Zamora, who is giving a lot of tips on how to maximize revenue on a Windows Phone. So the solution I wanted to talk about is AdDuplex. So AdDuplex is a really unique solution for developers to promote their application. It's not a monetization option. It is clearly a cross-promotion network. And the principle is very simple. You display ads for other apps inside your application, and for each 10 ads you've displayed, there are 8 impressions of your own applications in others' apps. So it's really leveraging the power of the developer helping each other, and the two remaining impressions are for sale. If you don't have any app to earn displays, you can buy those displays and your app will be promoted across all applications. And it's been fairly successful on the Windows Phone Store. More than 3,000 apps are using AdDuplex, and often it's used in combination with an ad control and AdDuplex. I'll talk more about that. And AdDuplex is available on Windows and Windows Phone. So to explain a little bit more, you know, what this could be the power of such solution, we had a chance to look at the real story of a developer named Jimmy Dickinson. He has a few apps. The most two popular are Speed and Nerds. And as Jimmy says, for him, AdDuplex, he's just one guy. So he's a developer. He's not into marketing. He's just happy about building apps. But of course, you know, making money with his apps is just not only is, you know, an income, is another income. It's fairly nice to have additional money to go have fun, but also it's seeing his work rewarded and the success of people using your application, just the number of downloads is in its own a reward. And of course, adding money on top of that is pretty cool. So as he looks at it, he says, hey, you know, a rule of thumb, when I start a new application, I'm doing about 50% ad duplex, where I'm promoting other apps to get promotion for my apps, and he's doing 50%. He's using the Microsoft Ad Control, but the combination allows him to keep the number of downloads up of these apps. And then as it grows, he works on optimizing between promotion versus revenue, and he also reinvests some of the revenue he generates through the Ad Control. So he shared some information about 3 of his major apps over the past year and a little bit more. the growth in terms of impressions. So that's statistics from the Microsoft Ads Network and all the statistics that have the ad impression across the different applications. Well, the interesting piece is, of course, the trend is going up. So I really think that this is because he was able to do a good cross-promotion of his application, and the investment is fairly reasonable based on the revenue he's able to generate. So that's really a really interesting way to think about how to promote your application. And so if you've never seen how it works, so just before I talk about Ad Duplex, in the screenshot in the middle, you see at the bottom icons of Jimmy's app. So it's inside his application. He's doing promotion of his own application. And that's really the best practice. If you have multiple applications, make sure in your About box or anywhere in your application, you talk about your other apps. But then it's not enough, because if you're new, you know, nobody knows your apps. So of course, promoting your other apps inside your apps that nobody uses, it's not going to help. So that's where Ad Duplex is pretty convenient. So I've just zoomed on the two sample ads that you can find. So one is just Ad Duplex promoting itself to developers. So that's a way to make the service known. And another one is just Jimmy promoting another application that is on the Windows Phone Store. So, checklist. Let the world know. Done. And good to go to the next one. So now that my app is super powerful, my app is super well-known, maybe I should have thought about it sooner. But hey, I want to make my app look better. I want the user experience to be much better, visually catching, to keep my users coming back again and again. Before I drill down into that, I just want to remind people about a few things about design. So design is very important. Design is very broad. And as developers, you may not be good at doing this. And even if you think you're good at in designing application, think again. Maybe you're not that good. And if you think you can improve, sure, you can improve. And there are a bunch of resources. So earlier today, there was a talk from Corinna Black, which is the head of our design studio. And she was explaining design for developers, giving tips, and really things that are applicable. And we also have a full video series teaching you the design principle in Windows, Windows Phone. And I encourage you developers to learn those things. But remember, a designer doesn't have the same skills as a developer, and it's very rare to find a good designer and a good developer in the same person. I've met just a few, and I believe this is, you know, you're really lucky. If you can do both, perfect. But really, rarely people can do that. So remember that. So, and the other thing, so the thing I want to talk about are controls. Controls are a big part of the visual aspect, but controls are not the design of your application. So think about design as something much broader, and I'll focus the rest of this section on controls. So Windows Phone platform has a lot of controls built in, and we also have the Windows Phone Toolkit, which is an open source project that is a separate download from the Windows Phone SDK that brings additional controls. And the way we did that through the toolkit is to enable a faster pace of innovation and to provide developers additional controls to offer them more choices. So beyond that, we have also offerings from partners, and I've listed Component One, Infragistic, Syncfusion, and Telerik, and I'll go through Telerik's offering. But the scope of the market is of offering is pretty broad. So anytime you want to think about a visual representation of some data or some sort of animation or something you would want to do in your application, check first if one of these providers doesn't have a solution for you. So I wanted to drill down with Telerik. And the reason we picked Telerik is because it's a really popular set of controls used by a lot of developers. And they're working closely with Microsoft, like many other partners. But we've seen a lot of good feedback from developers. So we wanted to highlight the works they've been doing. They have 48. Number might not be totally exact, but around 50 controls that you can use. They have a new control that is actually connected to a backend service, so they start playing also the backend of a service category, a control that makes it easy to manage online and offline scenarios when you want to data bind controls to some data that may not be available if you're offline. So you can keep a copy offline and then manage the synchronization, and this control does that for you. They also have design templates that are really interesting, that are super useful, especially when you want to mock up very quickly an application and you have some data, you want to put that very nicely presented. So they have predefined layouts. So through Wizards, you can pick what layout you want, and it will build a template that is already a good skeleton to get started and create your application. So that's something I would clearly encourage you to take a look at. Oh, I forgot something. Terraric is also, so I think the package for all those controls is about $99. So when you buy that, and it's a one-time license. But if you're part of the Nokia developer program, you can get those controls for free. So that's also one way that Telerik is participating in the Windows Phone ecosystem, having great offerings to developers and making their technology very affordable for all the developers. So just I have a couple of apps I want to show. So one app that is very popular, it's been in the Windows Phone store for a long time. It's called the Jack of Tools Pro, and there's a Jack of Tools free version that is ad-supported. It's done by a developer called Jonathan Isabels, and his motivation in doing in using Telerik's control is basically time-saving. He used a few controls, and I have just a few screenshots inside his application, mostly visual graphic controls, the gauge, and things like that. And the first is the hub tile. So it really helped him to go fast to create his application, and that's sort of the best return on investment. The other application is by a small team called the Dream Team from Russia, and actually we have one of the developers here, so if you have questions, you can ask him more details about it. But same thing, the motivation was, of course, time saving, but also the performance and stability. Some controls are pretty advanced, and if you want to build those controls yourself, you may spend a lot of time, and maintaining them might be very complicated. So the first one they use is the wrap panel, which provides some animation. So see that? It's just a bunch of screenshots that are coming one after each other, but it's providing those animations. So those are by default built in the Telerik control. So you just have to put the parameters, define the animation you want, and you're good to go. The other one is the one that, technically speaking, is the most advanced. It's a data-bound list. And when you have a long, long list, you want the data to be loaded on demand. You want to be able to template, to use templating to format your list. And performance of list is fundamental because we want the user to be able to scroll through the list, really the list to be super fluid. And that's what provides those controls. So design-wise, you can make them look really the way you want, this style, another style, so you can skin your template, your controls really easily. And the last one is a simple, at the bottom, the sort of the weight spinning wheel. So, well, you could build your own, but if you want something a little bit nicer, you can use this one. So that's how you can pimp your app. You really make it look better and take advantage of those controls off the shelves that are really, really cool. Next, so analytics, bug reporting, it's all about what's going on inside your application once you shipped it. It's somewhere living on someone's phone, it's working well or not, and you want to know about that. And clearly, what are the things you want to measure? You want to measure navigation path, you want to understand what are the most used features, you want to understand the context of usage. Is the user connected to a network? How fast is the network? Is it on Wi-Fi? That kind of data could be super useful. Crashes. So the Windows Phone Dev Center provides you some crash report, but if you want really some details and instrument your application to understand what's going on better, you can do that. And of course, the benefits are clear. You want to be able to react and fix quickly. If it's a bug, if you think that you had a great new feature, nobody uses it. Oh, shoot, maybe I should kill it, or maybe I just should expose that feature a little bit better. Making sure when you have a bug, you know about it very quickly, instead of this, realizing, you know, after a couple of weeks, oh, my ratings are going down. Shoot, what's going on? Yeah, maybe there's something wrong. Your app was perfectly nice, and then you shipped a new version, and you missed something, and that happens. So there are really quite a few offerings to consider, and they don't have all the same coverage. So depending what is your interest, what you really want to achieve, you may want to look at them a little bit differently. So Flurry is one of the most known purely analytics, but they have also additional offerings that are more into the promotion advertising space. Localytics is also providing analytics, MTICs. And the last two, Bug Sense and Criticism, are more toward the bug analysis feature. And I picked Bug Sense because analytics are more known, and bug crash analysis is less known. So I wanted to sort of evangelize the fact that, hey, you should think about those tools and services because they are really fairly easy to use and provide a lot of information. So from Bug Sense, for example, the kind of report you can get is, for example, getting statistics about the crash per version so that you understand what are the cause of your where your errors are, and then you may find, you may want to, and that's something you want to think about before, but you can instrument your application to be able to send a message to your users when they launch their application, remind them, hey, there's a new version. The store, you know, lets the user know that they have new updates, new apps, new version, but many users, they don't go there to update manually their applications. And you saw this morning in the Windows 8.1 keynote that this is the feature they removed in the store. So that's something you can actually, so user don't have to update manually their apps in Windows 8. In Windows Phone, you still have to do that. So that's why you want to be able to warn the user, hey, there's a new version of the app and you should update that one. And that's through our crash reporting, you can get that kind of information. You want to know, you know, users that were affected by crashes, you know, depending on you know, your user base, you want to know how many users have hit the bug, the crash, and this is also super useful. And also you can put, so by default, those solutions like Bug Sense, they provide tracking information by default once you've instrumented your application, and you can extend by adding personal keys and breadcrumbs and tracks so that you can have really fine-tuning the way you want to do the bug reporting. So how to do that? You simply get their SDK via NuGet. They have a common API across Windows Phone 8 and Windows 8. So in the case of Bug Sense, if you do your apps across platform, you can also, and beyond actually Windows and Windows Phone, they also support iOS, Android, so you can have a unique way of managing your bug reporting. So the only thing you can do if you want is just use, put that at the beginning when your application initialized, you want to instantiate the Bug Sense backend reporting, and it will start sending, you know, some crash reporting automatically. So all the try-catch default exceptions will be caught by Bug Sense and then send back to your report activity. You can go beyond and then in your own error management add some specific handlers so that you can basically provide additional information and you know more where you are in the application and what is the context. You can capture a lot of data. You can add extra metadata and you can also leave a breadcrumb so that you kind of know where the user have been and what is the flow across the application. So super useful. Check the pulse. Do that. This is very, very important to get that done inside your applications. Now, going a little bit beyond the space we're super familiar, Windows Phone, the Microsoft world, the Windows Phone ecosystem. Hey, you want to go cross-platform? We understand that. You are successful on Windows Phone? Why not being successful somewhere else? Or you've been successful somewhere else. You want to come to Windows Phone? Welcome. We welcome everybody to join. And so there are lots of options to do that. So one option is to build games or apps using HTML5. So in Visual Studio with Windows Phone 8, we introduced a new template that is a XAML C# application with a web control. And inside the web control, you can build applications. I'll give you a little bit more about that. If you want to create a nicer UI inside your web browser control, you have frameworks like Sencha or Kendo UI, which is done by Telerik as well, that provides HTML5, JavaScript, CSS framework, basically that enables you to create an application that will have the look and feel of a Windows Phone application. The only thing I want to make sure you understand is that those are not native controls. They are HTML5, JavaScript, and so even if they look like the platform, they behave kind of like the platform, they might be slightly off if you compare to the actual native controls. So you want to be mindful when you make those decisions that, is it going to be fine? Are my users aren't going to be upset because it kind of feels like Windows Phone, but it's not exactly. So that's a decision you have to make. It could be perfectly fine, but it could be as well that I say, okay, you know, I'm just going to create my own design and make that design consistent across platform. That's probably the best option when you want to do HTML5 as your cross-platform technology, because you want to sort of abstract out the design, the platform, and do it, do your own. And there's a lot of debate. There are pros and cons to each side, so it's just to think about it and make a decision and really do it well. So when you use HTML5, so the UI is one thing, but the most important thing as well is to be able to talk to the specific features of the phone. And for that, you can use an open source framework that's called PhoneGap. Actually, the open source name is Cordova under the Apache Foundation, and that's Adobe, who is the main sponsor, owning the PhoneGap brand and providing additional services around PhoneGap, like a build service. And what PhoneGap does is, and I'll actually just do a quick demo of what PhoneGap does. So I'm going to switch to my laptop here. And that was not. There you go. So what I have here is just sort of the kitchen sink PhoneGap application. I'm just going to run the application first. So what you see here is a PhoneGap application. So it's just a Windows Phone application having a web control. And inside the web control, things are happening using JavaScript and using a common JavaScript API that you can use across platforms. And so there are a few tests. For example, if I want to use the accelerometer, so PhoneGap gives me the bridge between the web control and JavaScript code to the lower layer of the system. And the good thing from a developer standpoint is that calling the accelerometer will be the same whether I use iOS, Android, Windows Phone, and any supported platform. So for example, using that one, and I can use the emulator to go see, I want to start watching, and then as I move, you can see it captured the data. So the back here, the real back button is, of course, supported. There's a little accelerator game. I have to start it. And then, oops. I moved the phone too much. So and you have the same mapping between the JavaScript API and the native feature underneath the platform available for really most of the features available on the phone. And that's really one way you can think about when you want to build a cross-platform application using HTML5. There you go. So that was the first demo. And you know, the demo is just not visually interesting. So I wanted to talk about this particular application, Untapped. It's sort of the foursquare for beer lovers. So when you drink beer, you look at the beer, say, oh, I like it, you check in the beer, and then you make comments. And it's a social network and a pretty popular application which has been available on many, many other platforms and joined Windows Phone Store just a few months ago. And the developer is using PhoneGap to manage his cross-platform activity. And actually, when I say the developer, this is the team of two people, a developer and a designer. And they have their job. So for them, Untapped is really a fun thing they're doing on the side. it may become a business for them later on, and they're hoping, actually, and they're working on it. But right now, they want to reach people. They want to build their installed base. They want to have users. So they decided to go use PhoneGap to manage a cross-platform. And they made choices in terms of design. And so when they came out on the platform, some people were arguing, and especially developers, hardcore Windows Phone developers, yeah, this doesn't look like a Windows Phone app. It shouldn't be there. We shouldn't talk about it. And I said, look, what we want is our end user consumers to be happy. We want them to find the application they find on other platforms, and they're happy to find on other platforms. The design choices are important, but as long as developers or users, consumers are happy, I think that's the main point. And as long as the app has quality, provides great features to the users, that's okay. We don't want to be religious about one way of doing things. We have guidelines. There are things we want to push and promote. But hey, we're open. We're welcoming any developer who wants to bring value to our store and can be reaching out our consumers, as long as these things are helping to basically sell the phones. We are pretty open about every kind of way you want to use to build applications. So moving on to another kind of cross-platform category and called middleware, and it's in the gaming space. In the gaming space, actually doing cross-platform, it's a little easier. I'm not sure if it's really the right way, but you don't have so much the constraints of the user interface, the design philosophy on the platform, because most games, they have their own universe. They have their own user interface, menu system. So it's kind of easier to abstract out that piece. And that's what we see through a few game engines. So there's a lot of options that you can consider. So I want to talk about just three game engines, but there are a lot of other things, game engines, libraries, and open source commercial solutions that you can find on the market. And all of these solutions really were enabled with the arrival on Windows Phone 8 of native code, DirectX, and the fact that now we support native. That was really one of the big things developers were asking, and we knew we had to do. And that's when Windows Phone and Windows started to have the same core and share a lot of the things across the platform. That's what enabled these different partners and technologies to bring their core engines to Windows Phone. So the first game engine I wanted to talk about is Marmalade. So Marmalade is an SDK that is geared toward C, C++ programmers, and even particularly more appealing to any developers who have been doing OpenGL development on other platforms. It's really a great way to take your existing code, tweak it, bring it into the Marmalade SDK, and then target Windows Phone and generate a pure native app with great performance. So, and we're working closely with these guys to make sure Windows Phone support is great, well done, and improve over time. So that's one particular game engine that is really interesting to look at. Another one, really completely different, that targets, it's hard to, I don't want to pigeonhole all these great companies and solutions, but trying to give some guidance if you're looking for something. Yo-Yo Games is going to be, the product called Game Maker is going to be a little bit more appropriate if you're looking for more simple games, 2D games. That's going to be a way to really fast build those games. And the third one I want to talk about is Unity. It's a fairly popular also game engine that has a visual editor. And actually, the way things work in Unity, you have the visual editor where you create your scenes, you build the different elements of your game. And once you're happy, you've tested inside the Unity simulator, then you have the option to just go build for Windows Phone. And once you've built for Windows Phone, what you get in the end is a Visual Studio project. You can just run, package, ship. But you can also add different things that are specific to the platform and leverage your skills to continue and finish and polish your application. You might want to do most of the work within Unity, but if for some reason there is code you want to reuse or things that are specific to the platform not supported by the engine, you can continue to work over here. So, with that, I'm going to be finishing on time, I promise, but I have a just a few more things I want to do. So before I close, I wanted to show you a few things still in gaming, but the way you can spice up your gameplay. So I'm going to start with a demo. So I'm going to switch over back to this laptop. I'm going to close that. And so I have here a phone with a little application. Maybe you've seen this application. It's the spinning cube, the DirectX. So it's not very exciting, but I'm going to show you a new way of thinking about the spinning cube. So I'm just going to bring something to the table. Actually, somebody has a BlackBerry in the room. I'm not going to say anything. We're open, I said, and hopefully, if you have published applications on the BlackBerry World Store, you know, check out maybe Marmalade. They have an interesting solution that can help you. Okay, so I don't know what this one is. Oh, that was remote debugging. So I brought this. This is a controller that looks like it's a little bit like a, it looks like a regular controller you may be familiar with. This is the MOGA controller. And what I've done is just paired this controller via Bluetooth to my phone. Now, what I'm going to be doing, I'm going to go back to my spinning cube application. There you go. And now I'm going to have the cube spin. But I'm using this controller to do that. And of course, the buttons are wired. So let's try something a little bit different. I'm going to launch a game and show you what the experience could be when you play a full game. And we even have the music. So I'm controlling actually what I'm going to be doing so that maybe you can see. So this is the experience when you play a game that has been MOGA enabled. So this particular game called Drift Mania, without the controller, it's a pretty fun game. I mean, it's easy to play. It goes super fast. The animation is pretty cool. But when you play with the controller, it's a totally different experience. It becomes really a much more exciting game. So there you go. So, and the frame rate is not that great because I'm doing video out. So when I play without the video out, it's pretty fluid and even better. So that is the kind of experience you can think about when you build games and basically want to go beyond just providing the regular on-screen touch control experience. And this is something that becomes fairly popular, and you may have heard other platforms. Companies providing some improvement in this area. So I'm going to stop here. I want to make you feel dizzy watching me playing. And I guess I can go back to my PowerPoint. I showed you what I wanted to show you. So the MOGA controller is actually available. The SDK is available today. You can download the SDK on the Windows, on the MOGA Anywhere website. That's the URL on the screen. And then just simply, if you already have a game that has some on-screen controls, rewiring those controls to your game using the MOGA SDK is really fairly simple. And you know, we've worked with those guys, and usually it's a matter of I would say a few hours to do the basic things and a few days in order to have something completely done. And MOGA has also a booth here on the exhibit floor, and they have controllers for developers, so they have a full kit where you can get a controller. But the one that I have here is actually one that is in market, so it's supported in market with some games for Android, and so we're starting to work with them to get more games. So the one I showed, Drift Mania, is on the store. It's available. but we're going to have more games in the next few weeks and months. So we'll talk about that later. So I showed the demo. Plenty of options, choice. So why wait? Go for it. Of course, like anything new and exciting, you want to make sure you have the safety lines when you go for it. So make sure you read and understand what are those partners offering are, what they offer, what are the terms. This is not Microsoft selling or offering those products, so those are partner offerings. With all of the partners I talked about are, you know, partners we have a relationship with, we know them, we have done some work with them, and so I would say this is we feel confident those offers are solid and really interesting for you. Where to go next? If you have to remember only one thing, there's this URL, the aka.ms WP Dev ecosystem, and it will you will land on the directory page we have that we're updating regularly to add new partners, offerings. There is the services.windowsstore.com sister directory, which is geared toward Windows 8, but actually those are pretty much the same. There's a lot of overlap between the two, and we'll over time merge in one single URL and directory where you can find all of that. And actually, I invite you to check out this website, GeekChamp. So it's a community. It's actually two-person company that is managing this community, where they have this marketplace for components where you can find a lot of the offerings. And actually, if you're a developer and if you want to put your components up for sale, you can go use this marketplace and basically get known and make some money selling your components. And with that, that's just the regular thing. So I just wanted to mention that. So I've been in marketing for the last almost 10 years, but before that, I've been starting my career as a developer. I do care a lot about developers. I do write some code, but I won't show you any code I've written in the past few years because it's probably very ugly. But the point is, and that's one of the things we try to do in the teams at Microsoft, we try to really care and understand deeply what developers need and want, and work with that and try to get solutions for you guys. So I have this phone I want to give away. So the way it's always hard, I don't have a way to do it really easy. So I'm going to try to be fair. Today we communicate two numbers, and that was on the Windows Phone Developer blog. One number was about the new price of the Windows Phone Store subscription and the number of monthly download / transaction. So anybody knows those two numbers? One number. Raise your hand. You were first. 19. Anybody knows the second number? 1, 2, 3. Second number is? No, it's 200 million thousand. 200 million transaction download a day. Sir, you won a phone. So yeah, that's the rate, and I use the numbers. I wanted just to share the numbers. They are public. They're the one we gave. So we said the pace is really, really fast. We said, I'm not very good with numbers. So we said 1 billion transaction in March, at the end of February, March. And we're saying that today we are at a rate of about 200 million transactions a month. So it took us quite some time to get there, but it's going really fast now. We're accelerating pretty fast. Don't forget the eval form. So there's a link. So you go to the build Windows website, sign up. There's session eval. There's an app as well on the Channel 9 website. And any question? It's just 12 minutes before 6. If you want to go, feel free to go. If you want to stick around, listen to questions. Happy to. Thank you. Yeah. I see. So the question is if the marketplace could provide data, geographical data, where your users have been downloading.
Where,
I understand the question. I don't know the answer. I thought that our reporting mechanism inside the Windows Phone Dev Center would provide location information per country. Oh, okay. More the referrer, how they got to the download page. Yeah, good point. We can't do that right now. I can't tell you if we will. I honestly don't even know if this is part of the roadmap. This is the request that is on the list, and this, you're not the first person asking. Yeah, well, we want to do that. We want to be able to not only know where they come from, but also have a mechanism where there's a referrer, so that if I generated. If I'm the one generating the download, I want to be able to, and some providers in the industry are offering services like that, companies like Tapjoy, and definitely this is something we have on our radar. This is one way developers can have better monetization and be happier in the end, because they can have a good cross promotion and mechanism to track where the things are coming from, and also the pay per action mechanism becomes much more relevant. Yeah, but I think we've heard that kind of request loud and clear, and it's totally valid point. We need to improve on that. So I can't tell you when that's going to happen, but I'm the one banging at the door with the PM and engineer. Say, hey guys, you know, we're talking to developers. We hear that. So that's one of the things we have to do. So. I'm not the one making the decision on the priority, but I'm saying this is a good idea, and it totally makes sense. And some other platforms have similar ways of managing this scenario, so we shouldn't be shy about providing that. Well, the bug tracking that I talked about is really bug reporting is really more things you can instrument to get a better understanding of what's going on, how the user get richer information on when the app crashed. It's not just a technical piece, but it's also understanding the context, understanding also the impact, knowing that, hey, you've received crash reports, but that's only 2% of your users that are being impacted. Yeah, it's not maybe so much so important. Knowing that, oh, this is my old version generating all the crashes. All that kind of information is not something we provide by default in a dev center. And we don't necessarily want to go there. We have other priorities. And this one is typically something, is a scenario that can be improved by third-party solutions. All right, thank you for your attention, and thank you for sticking around that late after the first day. Everybody's tired, but once again, thanks.